Hey folks, welcome back to the Pre-Construction Podcast. Gareth McLennan here with all your pre-construction crack. Today's episode is all about electrical contracting. Fascinating guest. This guy came to my attention on LinkedIn. He started posting a few things probably about a year and a half ago, and I was reading them. And you know when you're reading something and you're going, wow, that's great information. I can see the value that I get from that information, and I can also see the value that his customers and LinkedIn in general in the construction industry would get from his posts. So I touched base with him and said, listen, what are you doing? He was contracting for consultant for about 4.5 years. What do you do? So he's going into to general contractors and subcontractors on the electrical side and basically getting them to improve efficiencies, processes, technology, just making them better management-wise. Really interesting guy. You may know him from LinkedIn. And listen, if you're not following Clay Young on LinkedIn, then you need to do so. I'll put his LinkedIn profile in the show notes below. So I got him on the podcast. Very, very interesting. One of the things I wanted to talk to him about, basically all things electrical, but how to reduce errors during estimating. And he broke it down into 5 easy steps. And what I did is I went into each step in more detail. So the first step was do not enter hard numbers. Second is processes, technology. Third is review sub quotes. The fourth is study the pre-build schedule. And the fifth is include operations early. We talk about everything, price escalation, the lead times for electrical gear, mitigation of risk. And fascinating guy. Listen, enjoy this one. As always, everything's in the show notes. So if you need to contact him, his company is Falcon Electrical Contractors out of Dallas. Big, big plans. And as always, folks, before and while we're hearing from Clay, you'll hear from our 2 sponsors, Concentric and Beck Technology.
Stuck in spreadsheets? Tired of the endless loop of copying and pasting? Now imagine all your estimating workflows in one program. Beck Technology's innovative Destiny Estimator software streamlines the entire estimating process. With intuitive tools and powerful analytics, you can create accurate and reliable estimates quickly and easily. We understand the challenges pre-con teams face because we were born from construction. When you are ready to streamline your estimating effort, visit us at beck-technology.com and talk with a tech expert in a Destiny Estimator demo today.
Clay Young, welcome to the Pre-Construction Podcast.
Great to be here, Gareth.
Good.
Love what you're doing here on this podcast.
Love it. And I love more what you're doing on LinkedIn. If there anybody is not following this guy on LinkedIn, you're missing a trick. There's probably 4 or 5 influencers on LinkedIn when it comes to pre-construction and estimating across general contractors and subcontractors that you must follow. And you're one of them. And I love your slogan, empowering with purpose. And that's what you're trying to do. It's aligning perfectly with what the podcast is doing. It's taking us into pre-construction, into estimating, talking about the successes, talking about the failures, even more importantly, and getting it out there and everybody thinks that this has been done for the next generation. Believe it or not, we're always learning. Even me and you as young guys, Clay, we can still learn a thing or two.
Yes, we're lifetime learners. That's what I always tell my group. We got to be lifetime learners if we're going to be successful here. So always, and everybody has something to add to the conversation. Young, old, it's a good to collaborate for sure.
Absolutely, and the biggest thing on that is thinking that someone knows someone, presuming something. That is the biggest killer for learning and development, because if you don't ask the question, or you think it's a stupid question, or you think that what you're going to say won't add value and the person already knows that, then what's the worst can happen? They can say, yeah, I know that, or I got that. 90 times out of 100, you think that other people know what you know, and in actual fact, you as the expert are the expert. And your expertise, Clay, is electrical contracting. So if you're interested in electrical contracting, sit back, get the popcorn out. This is going to be a roller coaster. Right. So Clay, you've been through a lot of good companies, all on the subcontractor, the GC side, on the electrical side. I'm not going to go through that. Usually we go through people's history. Listen, this guy has got it 15, 20 years, owned his own electrical subcontractor, owned his own GC, worked with some of the best electrical contractors in and around the Dallas, Texas area. But now you have decided to open your own electrical contracting business. It's called Falcon Electrical. It's based in Dallas. Talk me about the decision to do that, Clay.
Yeah, I've just been in consulting for a number of years, helping other contractors out, seeing what the market really wants, seeing some of the inefficiencies in the processes that's out there. And then also trying to give the GC a more intimate subcontractor that same level as some of these big guys. And I think that's big. I think the agility that we can bring, I think the processes that we bring, the technology that we're embracing and trying to streamline some of this stuff, and then the value that we can add pre-bid, right? A lot of the small contractors are really just planning specs. We're bringing something different to this market from a pre-con perspective, where we're going to bring a lot of value to these GCs. So.
Brilliant. And that's what I want to dig into, because you've been on both sides. You understand what's been going on. You've been consulting for the last 4.5 years. You've seen the pain points that the GCs are going through. Give us an idea what you've been learning and how Falcon will collaborate differently with the GCs. And also, what do you expect on the GC side?
Yeah, I think Falcon's going to be offering more value for a put together number, right? Too many times in this market, especially here in Dallas, there's one spreadsheet that floats around every company, and it comes with a number, right? And it's a metric of square foot, or, you know, depending on the type of market, the submarket that it's in, they adjust those numbers. Falcon's going to come to them with a model that we have that's basically what I've developed is like estimating modules. And as we go into that market, we have those modules and we just build upon them, right? And so at the end of that, at the end of what we give you as an estimate, that number is not just a number. It has quantities, it has man hours, it has staffing, it has schedule. And so it becomes something that the GC can really analyze, stick their teeth in. It builds trust with that GC. They're not just getting a number and saying, where did this come from, right? Oh, I had two or three similar projects. Well, you and I both know there's no such thing in my book as a similar project. Every one of them has its own unique obstacles to overcome. And so to have something like this that we can put together fairly quickly, but has some you know, substance to it, is going to be real valuable to the GC.
I love this. You know why? This is doing what the GC is doing with the owner and the client to the GC. So I don't know if you might have seen them. I've had two young companies on recently, Rearc and Impetus, and they are very much focused on pre-construction services towards the client, right? So their value add is they give them way, way more information that they need. They visualize the information. They give them video content. They give them marketing. They give them everything that they need to be able to comprehend about the constructability of the project. You're basically doing that with the GC. So you're essentially breaking barriers down when it comes to collaboration.
Yeah, 100%. I think too many times a GC reaches out to 10, 15 other subcontractors. Hey, here's my scope. They get a number right before bid time. There's no collaboration. They don't even really know what's in it other than what, you know, the template proposal comes back as. I want to be open, transparent, collaborative throughout that process. And so, yeah, we're going to open our estimates wide open. We're going to talk through them. We're going to, you know, bring some value on, hey, is this over-designed? Is this under-designed? Here's some things that we see that we think can, you know, move the needle from a cost perspective and a schedule perspective. And hopefully that helps the GC land that job and or the owner to say, yeah, this is a go. Or, you know, I think in this environment right now, the price with prices starting to escalate, having somebody at this level to look at it and really say, hey, we can do this for this job, for this amount of money, can put some confidence into that owner and saying, okay, I trust this number. We can do this. As we both know, a lot of times projects are going over budget and over schedule. So this is hopefully a way to do that in a collaborative manner.
Yeah. And to give us an insight, you did a very good post on LinkedIn. It was called Reduce Errors During Estimating. Now, I want to dig a little bit more into that because, and maybe you'll be able to tell me, it sounds as if it could be on the GC side or the subcontractor side, but I'm just going to talk through the 5 points. And if anybody hasn't seen the post, I want to bring it to your attention. I'm actually going to put the link to the post in the show notes as well. The first one was, do not enter hard numbers. Talk us through why we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I think with the onslaught of all the various technologies and with the aging demographics of estimating and pre-construction, we had a hodgepodge of people doing estimates their own way, right? So we had some that were doing hand takeoffs with highlighters on the actual drawings. We've got some doing on screen using Bluebeam or PlanSwift, one of those. And then we have some that are using high powered estimating software that has a bolt on type on screen takeoff. And so what I found in multiple subcontractors, and one I think too is the cost. There's a cost slant to it as well. Is they can't afford to do this, so we got to do Excel spreadsheets. We got to do some of these other things. And what I found is everybody does a takeoff a certain way, and then they go get this estimating hardware, and they have the spreadsheet up, and they punch in numbers in to get the assemblies that they need. And too many times, estimators punching it in, time for a break, time for lunch. They pause, they come back an hour later, forgot where they were at. And I've seen numerous places where they're missing whole floors, they're missing whole scopes. So that's just number one, find an estimating software that's, that's a push of a button or that works in collaboration with each other. There's some workarounds with some of this stuff. If you can dump it into the estimate from Bluebeam or something like that, that's better than just hard punching, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you say, that it was funny. We had a post as well about your funniest stories during bid day, and the GC, one of the guys, entered the electrical contractor's phone number as the bid number. And it's just these things happen. We might laugh at them, but my God, should that get to a stage where that bid is accepted and they're running with that number, then you're in baller. And it happens all the time. And as you say, processes are very important because, listen, there's some smart people within construction, and they're going to be leaving the construction industry within the next 15, 20 years. And their process, they do have it in their head, but not everyone is as talented as that or has got that sort of experience. So processes are so important. And is that where technology has to step up to the plate?
100%. Yep. Technology is what's going to make that workflow smoother and everybody on the same page, right? Congruency. Transparency is what I like to call it. But too many times a senior estimator is doing something different than a junior estimator, than an estimator two or three, or even a chief estimator. Everybody's takeoff is different. Everybody attacks it differently. And so when you do that, there's misses. And the bad thing is because it's not the same every time, you can't easily go in there and find the misses. So the process alone, if everybody does it the same, whether somebody has a better process or not, set up a process, make everybody do it the same way. That's going to expose the misses way easier to find. And then if you have to tweak that process, then tweak it as a department across the whole department and individuals. If one person's doing it and everybody else isn't, then you're going to have issues. You're going to miss some stuff.
Yeah. And the third one was review sub quotes. Clay, why is that important?
Yeah. Too many times we send one link out to a subcontractor, and we see this from a subcontractor perspective from a GC. They send out one link and say, hey, you're responsible for all of this, right? What does that mean? I mean, there's so much stuff there. And then, everybody's guarding their number until 30 minutes before bid time, and then they just throw it up, and here we are, I've got this number. Am I going to plug it and just say, all right, you're going to eat this? To me, that's not a partnership. That's not a trade partnership that I want to be a part of. And so, yeah, I think getting numbers earlier, one, the sub has to be trusting in that, hey, I have a partnership with this GC. I'm willing to give them that number early. And that comes from early collaboration, right? But you gotta keep from holding things to your vest for too long. It's only going to hurt you in the end. But when you're reviewing that, I mean, look, there's exclusions. Some people include taxes. Some people don't. Some people have FOB, freight to the job site. Some people don't. Some people, have attic stock in their numbers. Some people don't. So to have a process in place that really reviews this instead of just looking at the bottom number and saying, hey, I'm rolling with this. I've seen that a lot of times too. It's like, hey, this guy quoted all the lighting but excluded the site lighting. Well, that was $200,000. You just missed it because all you did is take the bottom number without really doing going through the process of reviewing this quote. So very big.
Yeah. And that, not only what that does as well, I mean, within the GC, the pre-construction managers and the senior estimators within these companies now are going to meet in client meetings. When the client asks them a question about that electrical package, very simply, if they can't answer it or if they can't talk about the number, then they're looking a bit stupid. And not only that, they've then got to go back to the electrical contractor who has put all the information, either read the sub quote and get the information, or ring the electrical contractor up and get that information. It's a waste of everyone's time. Whereas if you read it, you're saving money. You're looking at risks that might be in there, and you're highlighting them, and then you're able to talk to the client at a much higher level.
100%. Yeah, risk mitigation is big in that whole process. And really, I think that's a value that the subcontractor brings to the GC. Right? They want to mitigate risk. It's up to the subcontractor to expose those risks. Hey, if we go this route, here's your risk involved. If we go this route, it might be a little bit more, but we're mitigating risk. What's your risk tolerance, right? Same with that, having that conversation with the owner. And I think too, that's another thing that a subcontractor can bring to a GC is if you collaborate early, make sure that GC can talk the right language when it comes to an electrical system, right? Don't just give them the number and let them run with it.
Yeah, I love it. And then the fourth one is study the pre-build schedule. How important? Why is that important?
Well, a lot of times as a subcontractor, depending on what market you're in, you don't even get one, right? So I think it's huge for many reasons. One, we want to know the start date. We want to know the substantial completion date. Different industries and trade scopes, they get on site at different times, depending on the type of job. We might get there early, do a bunch of underground, go away for a little while, come back and trim out, and there's a big ramp up for electrical. But if it hasn't been thought out well, for me, one, it's telling me that the GC hasn't done their homework, right? So I like to understand, hey, are they giving me a schedule that makes sense, or is it copy and pasted from another job? Like, it just gives me a little warm fuzzy of how much research these guys are doing and how much how much time has been spent into that schedule. But then there's also, I like to look at the activities. Do they really understand the electrical scope? Is it just one block and saying, hey, here, you got 3 weeks to do this? Or is it, in a detail that makes sense that allows us to look at the workflow? And then I can offer, insight into that as well. So I think there's some value add there as well.
Well, there's definitely value add from your side. I mean, you've ran a GC yourself, so there's definitely things that you can see. But I like the way you're kind of asking the GC questions rather than just producing a number and hoping for the best. That's proper qualification on your side, so go, no go. How much of that happens on the electrical subcontractor side? How much of the electrical contractors do they say, is this a GC that I want to work for? Is this a GC that's going to deliver this project? Because at the end of the day, their reputation's on the line and your reputation's on the line as well.
Yeah, so if they've gone through my bid less, win more process and classes, they better be doing it because that's what I teach. I don't subscribe to just going out and bidding the project. I don't want to win that project. I want to win the relationship with the right GC. So I'm doing a whole lot, and I train and teach to do a whole lot of pre-bid understanding of the GC. You need to dig into them. Do they even do the type of work that you like to do, right? Is that your bread and butter? Because you might be winning a job that you can't do. You're going to lose, right? The other thing is, yeah, do they pay their bills? How quickly do they pay once you submit, a progress billing? Are they subcontractor friendly? All of those things. And I have like a sheet that I rate every GC. And I say, all right, I want to do a white glove treatment to 3 to 5 of them. And they're going to get the touches. It's going to be a VIP type treatment. They tell me to go somewhere. I'm going. They got 100% access to me and the rest of my team. And they're going to get the value adds at pre-con. Then there's going to be another group that I'm curious. I don't know enough about. I'm only going to do $500,000 worth of a project just to kind of test the waters, right? And then there's some that's just red listed. It's like, nah, I already know from past experiences, they just don't align. Not that they're bad companies, they just don't align with what, our core values are and what we're trying to accomplish in the market. So, yeah I think it's big, but I don't think it happens. Every company, it just doesn't happen enough.
Yeah, 100%. And I love that, the white glove treatment. I'll tell you why. You think about the collaboration that we're talking about, both in the GC and the sub side. It's a big commitment. It's a big financial commitment. I mean, we talk about pre-construction services not being paid enough for. And it's the same in the sub side. I mean, if you're going to go on and get involved really early with the GC, you need to be pretty damn sure that you're going to have a good shot at winning the job, if not a guarantee that you're going to win the job. And then B, are you going to get, and do the subs is a question, it might sound stupid, but do the subs get paid for pre-construction services?
It just depends, right? Depends on the delivery method. You can do, I mean, we do some fee plus type jobs. We do some fees for pre-construction services. Most of the time you don't. I mean, my approach, especially with the smaller and the mid-size EC, what I like to do is I say, hey, look, you need to go sit down with a GC in December. You need to tell them I'm looking to do $25 million worth of work. I want to get $8 million from you. Here's my bread and butter. I know you're doing that kind of work. What's on the horizon? Here's my value add. I'm going to align all of my vendors, my subcontractors, to give me the best numbers to really dig into this thing, look for optimization. But on all the other stuff that you're bidding, I'll be a check number. What does that mean? It's usually just quantities. It's usually like giving something that, hey, I don't want to win this, but I'm going to give you a guy that's going to help you guys, level the bids, whatever it is from an electrical perspective, or offer, some value engineering insight. So that's kind of our approach is, we're going to dig in hard on the stuff that's our bread and butter and that we've aligned with early for that year. And then we're going to also give them something. And that can be different on every project. Hey, look, I need some quantity checks or I need some man hour checks. Then we'll allow some time for that. Right. And yeah, it's free. It's free con.
Yeah. And no, it is. Listen, it is. It's free con, but at the end of the day, it's a long play as well. And I think we've got to find the balance on that. And the general contractor side, I talk to GCs all the time. They're getting about 30-35% of the pre-construction services paid for, which is not a bad number. To me, it's got to get higher. It really does, yeah. considering that but without that pre-construction service, the project wouldn't be a success. And they'd probably pay 3-4 times the amount of that pre-construction services cost on the other end. And this kind of comes nicely to your fifth point when we talked about how do you reduce errors during estimating. And it's the inclusion of operations as early as possible, whether that be on the GC side or the sub side. On the subcontractor side, how early do you get the operations guys involved in an estimate or a bid?
Yeah, in the real world, and what I've seen in the market, they get about an hour to understand the project before they go to a post-bid interview, and then they find out we win, and then you give them another hour or two to kind of digest the plans and specs and the estimate, and then you're like, all right, go build, good luck, right? So part of my process is bring them in very early. I even like them to have a voice in what we make go, no go decisions on. Right. Yeah. And that's can be different, per job, but I like to understand what our bread and butter is and what our bread and butter is to me, the definition for that is one, we make the most money on, but two, our field guys like doing that kind of work. They're happy, they're comfortable, they know what to do. It's kind of second nature to them to go do that kind of work. So I'm going to go try to go get that kind of work. But at the same time, I want them to be in on the decision on the specific project or opportunity that's in front of us. So I'll bring them in early and say, hey, look, these are the things we're looking at. This graded really well, but I want your input on it. Let's look at schedule. Let's look at constructability. With the onslaught of technology, Microsoft Teams was kind of the first one out there that we started using for collaboration. What I like to do is set up a Teams channel, and I bring in operations at that time. So I have our estimating and pre-con team. They're starting to ask questions. They're starting to take snippets, and then it allows operations to get in on the conversation early. Because a lot of times, especially in the small business world and the mid-sized companies, they can't afford to bring it into the office for hours at a time. The project suffers that they're on, and then they can be used elsewhere, probably a little more efficiently. So that Teams channel or doing a Zoom call or something like that has proven its worth in a lot of ways. But constructability, schedule, having some input on final cost, and then when we go to a post bid interview or something, they're not an hour into it trying to figure out what am I going to say to this people? I don't even know anything about this job, right? So they're winging it. So yeah, we bring them in real early from no-go decisions all throughout the estimating process. And then at final, we'll do a final estimate review and we bring them in for that too.
Brilliant, brilliant. And what are you seeing? A question that I always like asking, especially when it comes to the mechanical, electrical and piping side of things, what do you see? What's the most common mistake you see from a GC as an electrical subcontractor? What are the most common mistakes that GCs make when they're bidding or when they're working with you, essentially?
This is my pet peeve, Gareth, is they bring you in and they say, basically regurgitate everything we've already told you, right? So do you understand the scope? Well, yeah, you wrote it. You wrote it out. If all I have to do is just say it back to you and you get these warm fuzzies, right? Or, hey, I've got this guy that I'm putting on and he has all this experience, but guess what? It's all switch and bait. Usually he never gets on that site, right? But they buy into that. What I like to preach to the GC side is, hey, look at the process. I can buy experience and I can buy history, really. It's the process. What do you have in place that ensures a consistent process? Most of the time, each PM, just like each estimator, has their own way and own process, and it can get off the rails very, very quickly. So I like to teach and try to coach GCs into saying, hey, I don't really, just tell the sub, I don't really care about your scope, right? You got to ask those questions for sure, but spend more time on how do you create POs? How do you budget or how do you control your cost? How do you control your man hours? What tool are you using? Is it a spreadsheet and you just have this huge number of man hours and you're like, all right, I'm tallying them up as you go? I mean, how antiquated is your system? Because that's going to make or break the project, right? So I think that's the biggest thing I see from a GC perspective is they have too much faith in a number and somebody that's up there just saying, hey, I got the scope. Look, construction has really good salespeople. I'll give you that. Have really good salespeople. I sat in a meeting one time and they asked, did we do substations? Well, look, substation can be a $6-7 million substation, or you can buy a little compacted substation that's, $60,000. They didn't ask a question. We didn't have $7 million substation history and experience, but they bought it because our guy said, hey, we had substation and we got the work. But look, that can set up for failure. You need to dig in a little bit, I think, from a GC perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Ask questions. You can't ask enough questions. And it comes back to the collaboration thing as well. And people, subcontractors like yourself, everybody's collaborating far more. So the days of doing just that, they're gone. Like the idea of somebody coming on saying, yeah, we've built that. Owners, general contractors, they're becoming very, very up to speed with what people are capable of, what they've been doing. And as you say, if they ask the right questions, especially around technology, it gives you a gauge of, is this company relying on one genius that's been there for 40 years that could retire any day, never mind any year? But the collaboration side is something that we struggle with in construction. We talked about it pre-recording here. We know that there's a mental health issue within construction because people don't talk about their feelings. It's the same when it comes to failures and successes and subcontractors, general contractors. We need to get better at collaborating. I think that's what's, from what you're telling me, that's what really excites you now about you starting up your GC again.
Yeah, 100%. I think collaboration is the key to success. And it can tell you a lot about a person. But I also think with early collaboration, I think there's a feeling or a sense it that the GC thinks that he's got to commit to you with that early collaboration. I think it's a relationship, right? You're building that relationship. And so, look, you're not going to win them just because you're, you know, collaborating early and, you know, you're doing some things. I like to call it adventure. Like I want to get people in adventures and outside of the job site to understand how they're collaborating together, how they work together, what are their personalities under pressure, right? And so I think that's some of that just in the collaboration pre-bid, right? Is this guy really thinking through this thing? Oh man, he's really deep in what he's looking at. I didn't think about that, right? And so you start building trust without even giving a number. And I think that's huge. But yeah, I think I'd said this before we started recording is, that a company that doesn't collaborate and isn't transparent and isn't sharing the failures and the hiccups they've had along the way, they're gonna fail. In the end, they're gonna fail. They're gonna die on the vine.
Absolutely, and we've seen it more and more. I mean, more on the GC side, you would see it more in the subcontractor side. The GCs that are open and honest and focused on pre-construction services are thriving. Their backlog into 2024, even into 2025, is absolutely huge. And even some of the bigger firms that focus and have invested in R&D when it comes to technology and training and developing their talent. But one thing I could not let you go without, as an electrical expert, is talking about price escalation and supply chain. What are you seeing out there, Clay? Are we seeing things starting to relax a little bit? And what are we going to see into 2024?
Man, you're asking me to just cast that magic wand out there. Lead times are still out there on gear, you know, transformers, switch gear, that type of stuff. I mean, that's a big obstacle to overcome. It's a huge question that you have to ask. I just bid one this morning and, you know, the owner's wanting something done by the end of October and it's got switchgear on. It's got 16 to 20 week lead times. So yeah, it's something that you have to be cognizant of. Pricing wise, I mean, I'm hopeful. We see some materials coming down, but then we see others kind of spiking up. I think once the supply chain kind of comes to the mainland a little more, or they're manufacturing some more stuff here, we might see some relief there. But I don't see it. I think not just from a material perspective, but just cost of construction. With the implementation of technology, owners and GCs are asking everybody to do more with less. But it costs, I mean, just because you have less people, you got technology. You got a lot of other things that they're asking for that, you know, back in the day, the traditional GC didn't have to do.
Yeah, that's the balance. I mean, that's where technology for me has got to come up to the fore. But again, you can't just switch technique. You can't just decide one day I'm going to get technology and it's going to help me and it's going to help me increase the capacity of the company. It takes time to implement. And I think, listen, the old Chinese proverb about when's the best time to plant a tree 7 years ago, when's the next best time? It's today. If the companies that didn't look into technology during COVID when they had some downtime, the companies that didn't do that are suffering badly right now. And the companies that did during COVID get on, implement good technology, good processes, they are absolutely thriving. And they will in 2024 when it continues to get busier.
Yeah, I you know what I'm starting to see too, at a small scale even, but even the larger ones, is these companies that are now starting to have an R&D division, they're going to thrive. They're starting to understand technology, how they can implement it, how it makes them stronger, how it makes them better. And then the ones that just doesn't fit with their companies, because there's too many, especially small contractors. You know, we get bombarded with all types of technology, but they don't have the time to really vet it out and make sure that it works for what they're trying to do. And they all of a sudden buy it and they're bogged down in it and they can't get anything done. And then they spent all this money on it. So I'm starting to see these R&D type small, and sometimes it's kind of a sister company of the big company, right? It's not just necessarily part of that company, and they're trying all kinds of new technologies and stuff. And I'm seeing some successes with that.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there as well. And I've got a couple of contractors that I'm dealing with at the moment that have done just that. But what they've done is, rather than implementing the technology's processes, they've gone out and found a process that is cognitive to their process rather than the other way about. Because if you've got a winning formula, you should get a technology that partners with that and is able to run that process rather than having to change it. Because we know that we're not great at change, but if we can get a good technology that works well with our company, because they all do different things, they might tell you that they all do the same. They do not. They are all completely different, and you can use them in different ways as well.
Yeah, good point. Too many traditional contractors only do it one way. It's my way or the highway, or I can't do that job because I don't know how to, you know, that's not what I do. You either get my cabinet built this way or that's it type of thing. And the same way with this technology. Yeah. You see people say, hey, this is my idea. This is my process. This is the only thing I know that works. And they're getting left out because you're not going to find a technology that's going to do just that, or you're going to spend a lot of money doing that, right? You got to change your thinking up. There's some guys, very smart guys, that's come outside from outside of the industry that has a really good process that can make some tweaks to your process and your business that can really spike revenue and profit.
Exactly. And both in the short term, medium term, and the long term as well. Clay, this has been absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing your insights. And I just want to give people a shout out and give you a chance to talk again about Falcon in Dallas. Obviously, it's just starting. What geographic are you going to cover? Are you going to look at certain markets? What are you going to specialize in?
Yeah, so I mentioned a little earlier, I'm going to give the white glove treatment to 3 to 5 contractors. We're going to go anywhere they go across the Southeast United States. We're starting and based out of Dallas. We're going to reach out to Austin pretty soon. I already have a GC that wants to go that route, and then over to Houston. So we'll kind of do that Texas triangle early. But we're going to go across the Southeast for contractors that really want us. And I think there's some value add there. They don't have to go out and search for subcontractors in a market they're not familiar with. And then they also are getting a subcontractor, one that can bring value pre-con, but also understands their processes and works well with them no matter where they go. So I think it can bring some value on both sides.
Brilliant, Clay. I tell you what, I'm excited to follow you. I'm going to bring you on in 12, 14, 16 months again to see where you're at, because this is exciting. I think very much like ReArc and Impetus, the young, vibrant, collaborative, pre-con focused contractors, and that's on the G side. If we can get subcontractors thinking along the same way, I think we've got a hell of an industry ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, excited about it, looking for the right GCs to collaborate with, and getting reached out to every day, so I'm excited about it. I appreciate you having me on, Gareth.
Clay, you've been a pleasure. Thank you, sir. And listen, if anybody wants to speak to Clay, wants to follow up with any question, wants to hear more about Falcon in the Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, just I will drop your contact details, the website, the LinkedIn profile in the show notes. So just drop me a DM, and I hope it helps.
Perfect. Thank you, Gareth. Appreciate it, man.
Cheers, Clay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Steve DeLordo, founder and CEO of Concentric, the first holistic platform for pre-construction. As a former executive officer of one of the largest general contractors in the U.S., I have experienced firsthand the challenges the industry is facing, particularly in pre-construction. Pre-construction is still a highly manual and fractured collection of processes. Essential information is kept in ad hoc, scattered spreadsheets and documents, which really limits the understanding and hides the full picture of a project for all those involved. Concentric is here to change that. Our 360-degree platform unites data, workflows, and people. With Concentric, you and your team can access real-time insights and data, assess and mitigate risk to ensure a successful project outcome, and most importantly, unlock the enormous capacity of your talent and your data. To learn more about Concentric and to book a demo, head to our website, concentric.com. That's spelled concentric.com. Concentric, it's pre-construction recalibrated for the modern builder.
There you have it, folks. Listen, thanks for listening. A big shout out to Clay. Thanks for giving up his time. I know he's a busy man. Starting an electrical contracting business is not easy, and I'm sure time is of essence right now for him. Listen, if you've got any questions for Clay, drop him a message on LinkedIn. He's very active on LinkedIn. If you're interested in doing business with him in the Southeast or in the Texas market, drop him a line and he will gladly help you. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. More great guests coming. As always, please subscribe, like, and share with your peers or colleagues.